The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. The risen Christ appears again to his disciples by the sea where they were first called. After echoes of the fishing and feeding miracles, he gives a final reminder of the cost of a disciple's love and obedience. After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same thing with the fish. This was how the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten the belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to them, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Before I start, I was told there's a children's message listed in the bulletin, and I was told that there's somebody in the congregation that usually gives the children's message on the second Sunday, and the pastor does it the fourth. Is there anybody here today that's supposed to do that? Okay. And since I told Chris, okay, I'll just depend on that. Grace and peace to you from our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Have y'all ever noticed in this world we live in among these people that most of us fit into one of four styles of behavior? Well, the psychologist tells us that the first style of behavior is dominant. That's people who like to be in control. Nobody needs to ask a dominant person what they think, because they're blunt and they're direct and they're fast to judgment and they're ready for action. And then they tell us that the second kind are people. They like to talk. They're very animated. They like meeting new friends. And they're very optimistic and they're fun to be with. And then the third kind of people they say are dependable people. They're predictable. They're not the rah-rah type of people. They're never the life of the party, but they're good listeners. And they make other people feel good, and they make others comfortable. And then the fourth kind of people are the detailed people. They like to do things right, and they like to take care of the little things that most of the rest of us leave out and don't pay any attention to. Some people call them perfectionists, and some are. But most of them simply take pride in a job well done. Well, in the first lesson today, Doris read from Acts about St. Paul. We could say that Paul would definitely belong to the high dominance category. There was nothing retiring about his personality. He was direct, he was forceful. And people like that are sometimes they are wrong, but they're never in doubt. They get things done. But when they're wrong, they can be an absolute menace. And Saul was definitely a menace. Christians trembled at the mention of his name. He vowed to destroy the young, growing movement that had started because of Jesus Christ. Saul was a religious fanatic. He was a man so certain that he was right that he was persecuting and killing any of those whose views did not agree with his. Because if he was right, they surely had to be wrong. Maybe you know somebody with a dominant personality. I do. Today, Saul was on his way. He was on his way to his mission of persecution. He was going to Damascus. It's one of the oldest cities of the world. And it was a very important trade center. The people in Damascus had a sort of a saying. They said Damascus was the oldest city in the world, and at the end of the world, Damascus would still be there. That was just a local thing with the people. It's not biblical prophecy. So as Paul neared Damascus, there was a brilliant light from heaven that blinded him. He fell to the ground. Saul was going to arrest a large number of believers. And there was a guy named Ananias, and he was probably in that group of believers that Paul was going to arrest. But God had other plans today. God confronted Saul before he reached Damascus. He knocked him down to the ground, and he told Saul who he was. And without any word of comfort or assurance, he told him to go into Damascus. And now Paul must go as a helpless blind man. He must go among the very ones that he was coming to destroy. Saul the dominant became Saul the dependent. You know, when my children were small, I did spank them if they did anything wrong. You're rolling your eyes. I remember it bothered me that I had to wait to give them a little comfort until I knew that they had time to think about what they had done wrong and got a spanking in the first place. You do that? Yeah. Well, I found some way to give them a smile after time had passed, or a word of praise about something they'd done to let them know that I really loved them. God sort of spanked Saul on that road to Damascus, and he made him wait 3 days before sending him any reassurance. Saul had a lot to think about in those 3 days, and he neither ate nor drank for those 3 days. I've said before, and I've preached many times, each one of us are unique. God made us very unique. We each have our talents. We each have our gifts that God has given us. And because we are unique, God works with us in many different ways. But you know the sad part is about that? We make the same mistake that St. Paul made. We try to fit everybody into our mold, and we try to make them do it our way. And we're on very shaky grounds anytime we presume to judge others. And now Jesus appeared to Ananias in a vision, and he called him by name because Jesus knew who Ananias was. He knew what Ananias was capable of. And he knew where he was. So if we're believers, if we're really truly believers, we're never alone. Because Jesus is always with us. We're no stranger to him. Wherever we go, whatever activity that we're engaged in, at any moment of the day, Jesus can call our names, and he can call our names either to give us encouragement, to give us instructions about a job he plans for us to do, or to call us home. He's always there with us. And Ananias was responsive when he got one of the most important calls anyone has ever been given, to go to the man he only knows as his enemy and lay his hands on him and pray for him to regain his sight. Ananias knew who was calling him. He knew what he was telling him to do. But what didn't compute with Ananias was this. Was Jesus really telling me to go to the very one that every believer in Damascus was hiding from? Was he really telling me to get close enough to him to touch him and pray for him? But Ananias was courageous. And his confidence wasn't in his strength or his weapons. It was in the word of Jesus Christ. Ananias, go and do, for this is my will. If we're confident that we have the Lord's word to stand on, we can go with more assurance and courage than if we had the whole American army standing behind us. Someday in heaven, I'd like to hear Ananias' story about this. He went and prayed, and Saul's vision was restored. And Saul was immediately filled with the Holy Spirit, and his life was changed forever. All because of one faithful man who was responsive, who had the courage and the graciousness of one faithful follower. Could Jesus have done this by himself? Sure he could. Jesus can do anything by himself. So this is a lesson, and it's an encouragement for us to know that when God gives us a duty to perform, it's for our blessing and for our growth, as well as for those that we are sent to serve. The God who could do all things by himself, who needs no human hands to help him, chooses for our sake and for his own to include us in his plans and use us in his work. God speaks to each one of us according to our needs, our gifts, and our talents. Saul had a dominant personality. He believed that he could handle any situation that came along by himself. What a surprise to find him blind and helpless. God dealt so effectively with Paul that Paul never again bragged about what he could do on his own, but rather he testified, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." Only eternity is going to show us what he may accomplish for his glory. Through one seemingly insignificant step of obedience from one faithful follower, whether that follower be Ananias or you or me. Amen.